This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We go to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. We welcome in Nathan Zagura, sideline reporter. You see him on Browns.com, Browns senior analyst, Browns Radio Network. Nathan, good morning.
Good morning, Monfrere.
Oh, it's wonderful to speak to you. I want to play something for you. And I'm not surprising Nathan here, so he knows. I was a little bit surprised, though. Yesterday, we found out. Now, I don't listen to his podcast, but I had to go back
and
listen.
Nor do I.
I'm an avid listener. I listen every day.
I had to go back and listen to Mike Lombardi because, well, I got to play it for you here, Nathan, and then I got to get everybody's rebuttal of this. This is Michael Lombardi, former Browns GM, front office man, on Nathan's a girl. For whatever reason, he has a bit of a problem with Nathan.
What I love is at the end when he's on the field, and I think the guy, Nathan Zagaras, is the team's television guy. Nice guy, you know. Doesn't, you know, really. And he comes up to him and...
It just looks so much better.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God.
You know, that looks so much better. Classic line. You know what I call those guys?
What's that?
I call those Bundy guys. You know who Bundy is?
Like Muhammad Ali, Bundini Brown.
Bundini Brown. They're Bundini guys. Yeah, they're Bundini guys. They're just there to tell you everything's great. That's all they do. They're just there to tell you everything's great. Like, that's his job, is to come out. Everything, man, looks so much better last year. I bet he said that exact quote after game one to Hugh last year. Like, as an organization, get rid of all the Bundini guys. Get them out. Just throw them out the bill. I don't want to hear it.
Now, that's on the ringer. Nathan, first question. Did you say that to Hugh Jackson after the first game last year?
No. Of course not. Last year, you guys know how optimistic, and I put that in quotes, I am, and how positive I try to be. I thought we'd be lucky to win three or four games last year. I think it does look different, and I think anybody who watched the game would say it looks different. And, you know, I went in, and you don't have to go off of opinion, but last year against the Giants in the preseason, the first two quarterbacks who played for the Browns were Brock Osweiler and Deshaun Kizer. They went 14 of 21 for 99 yards and an interception. This year, the first two quarterbacks, Tyrod Taylor, Baker Mayfield, against the Giants, also in the preseason, went 16 of 25 for 311 yards and three touchdowns. I think it looks different. I think the talent is better on this team, and obviously it starts at the quarterback position. Definitely didn't say that to him after the first game last year. Last year, I was commiserating with Hugh quite a bit, as I knew he was dealing with a very talent-deficient roster.
I think that's a fair statement by you, Nathan. I didn't think it was fair by Michael Lombardi to highlight that.
I just love that the lackey, whoever his guy hosting the show with him, acted like he knew what he meant by that Bandini reference.
He corrected him. He corrected him. He said Bundy at first, then he corrected him and said Bandini.
Right, but the funny thing is, obviously, they had talked about that beforehand, and he jumped in there because he had to get his two words in there. I just thought it was comical. But either way, throughout the course of that entire podcast, and I did hear it because he was talking about Browns culture, and you know, Lombardi, say what you want, axe to grind, all those things are absolutely 100% true. You could say that about Joe Banner. You could say that about Jeff Schwartz, apparently, who, you know, crushes the Browns from time to time.
I'd be an axe to grind there.
On social media. With that said, Nathan, speak to the culture, because you're there a lot more than anybody else, than any of our listeners. What are you seeing that you can say, hey, this does feel a little bit different?
I mean, I think I can tell you at multiple times in each of the last two head coach GM relationships prior to this one, it was dysfunctional. They didn't get along. They didn't talk. They weren't working together. It became toxic, which is why changes were made. So from number one, these guys are certainly on the same page. I know that the term is overused, quote unquote, football guys, where all they care about is winning, which I know that sounds like that should be a given for a professional football team. In the last 2 years, that was not the given. Now, if this works out, Sashi gets credit for setting it up for John Dorsey to capitalize on it. But I think the biggest change is that you have people who all view the world the right way, the same way, in terms of what they want this team to accomplish, and that is to win. And that starts with John Dorsey, Hugh Jackson, Todd Haley, Greg Williams, the four guys that are the most important people in your organization on the football side. And I think that alignment has helped. And then from the player standpoint, you know, it dawned on me the other day, there isn't a player on the Browns roster who was drafted by the Browns that's been with the team longer than I have. So I've seen these guys since they were rookies. I was the first person to interview them once they came to the team and were drafted. So I have good relationships with the guys who have been here, you know, now 4 or 5 years. I'd say the biggest difference is what they perceive to be around them, the supporting cast around them, and bringing in Jarvis and bringing in Terod. Those things are huge, obviously, to go for that. But I think they feel like they have talent and have a chance. And I think that's a lot different than they felt last year. I mean, I would do interviews with guys on, you know, my show. They would come into the studio. We would talk on the air. Then we would talk off the air. And you knew last year they felt like they were going into a, you know, a machine gun fight with a water gun. And I think this year they feel that they're able to go in there and at least have a chance to win every Sunday.
Nathan Zagura, sideline reporter for the Cleveland Browns radio network. So you see that these people that are being critical of Hugh Jackson and how he commands or doesn't command respect around the team. I do want to ask you about what his job is now. I know it's obvious he's the head coach, but clearly, if it's not his offense this year, he's going to have a different hat when it comes to how he's going to supervise this team. What do you see that's different from him this year that maybe you've seen in the last couple of years?
You know, I've talked to him a lot about this, and obviously it was kind of unique for him. It was the first game that he hasn't called plays in a game in the National Football League in over 4 years, so it was different for him. His role now is to really be the guy that kind of oversees everything from a football standpoint. And what I mean by that is how the team practices, how he wants things done. He sets everything up. And his biggest job, I think, and one of the biggest jobs of a head coach in the NFL is to motivate and relate and get these players where they need to be. And I think that's one thing that if you go back to last year, and there can be people that criticize Hugh's play calling, too many verticals in the offense, can criticize other things that he did last year. One thing that they can't criticize is his ability to motivate these players to play hard for him, because there are not many coaches that would wear the record that he's worn the last 2 years and still have that buy-in from his players. And these guys, I can tell you to a man, especially the guys that have been with him here for the last 3 years, want to win not only for this city, not only for themselves, but also for Hugh Jackson. And I think that's kind of his role now. You've got Todd running the offense. You've got Greg running the defense. And obviously he can give input, and Todd and he – bounce things off each other as it relates to the offense. But for the most part, it is Todd's offense. It is Greg's defense. And Hugh is the guy kind of overseeing everything. And what I've noticed in practice is he now can spend time talking to guys on the defense and on special teams and be involved in all of these things, just critiquing and motivating, et cetera. Whereas last year, if you went to a training camp practice, he would be with Deshaun. Deshaun would throw a pass. Then he'd have to talk to Deshaun about the play that happened. Then he's calling the play. And really, he was almost a one-person coach. And so this year, I think he has the opportunity to kind of spread that around. He's got guys dedicated in his ear now, Dave Giuliani. And I think he was there last year, but Dave Giuliani, as you mentioned him, you know, who helps with all the challenges, helps obviously with the clock management stuff. So I think they just have a more streamlined operation for Hugh, especially on game day. And I think we should see a benefit for that, because he doesn't have to be coaching the quarterbacks and calling the plays and being the head coach.
At least
that's the hope.
Nathan's girl with us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. You got a chance to talk to Dez Bryant in studio yesterday. What are the percent chances you think right now the Browns land him?
I think it's pretty high. I think Dez Bryant ultimately, when this is all said and done, is likely to end up a Cleveland Brown. I don't know that it's going to happen as quickly as people want. I know that everybody, after he came in onto my show yesterday, you know, were like, oh my goodness, is he signing, you know, today? And obviously that didn't happen. I think, you know, take a look over the weekend, maybe early next week. But I think that there is a good chance that Dez Bryant ends up a Cleveland Brown. I can tell you, not only did I talk to him on the show, I talked to him afterwards as he was just still in the building for a little bit. And he obviously is in good shape. He's very motivated and seems very excited about the opportunity to be here with Hugh Jackson and Todd Haley. And I think that, you know, I do think that it is more likely than not right now.
How does that mix, if he were to be a part of that wide receiver room, how does that mix with that wide receiver room, going on the thought that we do believe that Josh Gordon will be back at some point?
It's obviously very talented and extremely, I would say, on some level, a little enigmatic, right? Because we don't know exactly what you're going to get from Dez. I think the idea from Dez's side is, I'm signing a one-year deal. This is my last shot to go out and prove myself that I can play at a high level and cash in one more time on a big contract somewhere. So I think you'll get the best of Dez. We know Josh Gordon is motivated. He's got to get through this season. He's got to get paid at the end of this season to kind of help some of the financial issues he's got. And then you've got Jarvis. I think the big key for me with the whole Dez situation is, you know, can he come in and accept the fact that Jarvis has taken that leadership role in that room? Because I think what Jarvis has done for the team on the field, he's been the best player training camp every day, but off the field in the locker room for these young receivers, and you hear guys like Hollywood Higgins talk about it and Callaway talk about it, has been, I think, you know, instrumental in the development we've seen with some of these young receivers. And so I still would very much want it to be Jarvis's room. And I think that's what they have to figure out, how those pieces all fit together. And that's why I think when he came in yesterday, it was much an interview for Dez with the Browns as it was for the Browns with Dez, and how he would fit into the way the Browns are doing things right now on offense, and specifically in that wide receiver room.
Nathan Zagura joining us on the hotline. So at what point does Josh Gordon need to get here? What would be a drop-dead date for him to get here, for him to be able to play week one?
To play week one?
Yeah.
I would imagine he has to probably be here at least at a minimum for practice that Wednesday before the game. So that would probably be my guess. You probably would want him ideally in before that. But, you know, Josh is tending to himself and the issues that he has. And when he's ready to come back, that's when he'll be back. But I think, you know, obviously for everybody involved, the sooner the better with Josh Gordon, and especially if you're trying to figure in how Josh is going to fit with Dez and Jarvis, et cetera. You want to get those guys on the field together. But I would think, if you're asking me again, that's a question much more for Hugh Jackson, but I would guess he's got to at least be able to practice that final week.
Nathan, that just sounds so late to me. A, to be in football shape. We know he's a freak, but there's a difference between working out the swamp in Gainesville and actually playing professional football and doing it the right way.
No doubt. And I don't think if he came back at that point, I don't think you're counting on him to play a full rep, you know, a normal game. I think if he comes back, you know, anytime probably after the third preseason game, you're looking at putting in a couple packages for him the first week and easing him back in. But I think ideally, as I said, you want him here sooner rather than later.
Nathan, go ahead.
Oh, I just want to add, yeah, because we were talking about earlier in the show, Nathan, what it would take for there to be even a conversation by the fans first, because we know Hugh's going with Tyrod no matter what, but what it would take for fans in this town to start to get loud about Baker Mayfield. And I said, if Tyrod doesn't look good tonight and Baker goes out there even against the twos and lights it up, remember at this point 3 years ago, Carson Wentz was third string. At what point do you think the fans are going to get loud about wanting to see Baker Mayfield?
At this point 3 years ago, Carson Wentz had a broken rib and Teddy Bridgewater had a leg. But nonetheless, I don't think it's going to happen. I really don't. And I don't know if you're perhaps on your program, it's been differently than on ours, but I haven't really gotten a whole lot of groundswell for that, because Tyrod, I think everybody who's a Browns fan knows that he's going to play at some point. Baker Mayfield wasn't drafted number one overall to never play for the Cleveland Browns. And I think everybody's excited about that. We've seen quarterbacks be rushed in too early here. We finally have a guy who's won games, and the guy's won at least seven games 3 years in a row. We've won four in the last 3 years combined. I think the team is totally bought in with Tyrod, and they also happen to love Baker. I mean, I think the Browns are in a good situation at quarterback for the first time, certainly since I've been with the team, and, you know, some people think for the first time, you know, in a decade. So I don't expect that to happen. I mean, maybe if he goes out and throws interceptions every pass for the next 2 weeks and Baker looks flawless, that something could happen. But first of all, that's not going to happen. So I really don't think it's going to become an issue at all. At least before the season starts, not at all.
Nathan, we thank you very much for the time, friend. All the very best. And thank you for being a good sport about Mike Lombardi, buddy.
Hey, you know, what are you going to do? You guys got XGM 3. He can say whatever he wants. He's entitled to his
there it is.
Wait, is there anything you want to say that maybe we could send to Mike Lombardi that he could play on his podcast?
I don't know if we can air what he wants to say.
You can just have me saying yes. I'll make my buddy.
Thank you, Nathan. We'll talk to you later on today, buddy.
You got it. Thanks.
The great Nathan Zagura joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. If I would say one thing, it's odd that Mike Lombardi is telling Nathan to keep his mouth shut when that's the reason Mike Lombardi's hosting a podcast and is no longer in the NFL.
And not in the actual league?
Yeah. Going back to what he had said, what Nathan had said about what we were doing with the quarterback situation in general, even with the head coach and how you handle the quarterbacks. I said before the show today, I put it out there, and I made the mention during the show, is that there is part of me, and people are not going to, because we're talk show hosts, and so yes, there's things where there's storylines, and we talk about these things. I root for a controversy for the simple fact of, I want him to be good. And the only way there's a conversation about that is if he's good. If he's good, then there should be a controversy. There should be a conversation. You want people to be on either side about that because that means you have a good problem. It's a there is such thing. I know people look at this because we've been through this a million times before, and they look at it through the worst possible perception because we haven't handled it well as a football team. But when you look at two fans, if you look at the fan bases, if I got one split on one guy and the other one split on the other guy, that means I got a good problem. It's a problem. It is a problem that I have to solve. But I have two situations here where I can be a better football team. And that means Baker's even worth the conversation. So when you get all hot and bothered, and not even you, but other people get all hot and bothered about Ken, you're an idiot about bringing in Drew Stanton during a game or anything like that. I want that heat because, first off, it's sports. Second of all, it means that they're good. There's a guy that's good. There's a guy that's worth playing. Like, I watched Sam Darnold yesterday. I saw a guy who did move the football a little bit, dink and dunk a little bit, but I didn't see a guy who was in command of the huddle. I didn't see that in the first game against Atlanta, and I didn't see that in this game. I didn't see that with Josh Rosen. I didn't see that with Josh Allen. When I saw Baker Mayfield, and when I watched that back, I saw a guy who was in charge of his huddle, who was out there with his twos, and was out there telling people where to go, what to do.
Look good.
And that's the way it was supposed to be.
Look really good.
Now, this is only the start, and he can be solved real quick if he's not able to adhere to everything and able to make his adjustments. But if I see a base of a guy commanding an offense and doing that, then I'll be excited about it. The way that I'm excited enough about Tyrod Taylor as a starter, and yes, I'm perfectly 100% comfortable with Tyrod Taylor as a starter going into the season. But it's not just conjured out of nowhere.
Yeah, I just know the way fans will tend to overreact, and we overreact to preseason. God, we overreact to videos from training camp from time to time. That if Tyrod goes out there and just is, and Baker is Baker, like the Baker that everybody wants him to be, I just know Monday morning we're taking calls. We will take calls. Because right now, Tyrod is not throwing an incompletion. So we've only seen good Tyrod.
You think that maybe he could change some ideas coming up tonight?
I think it has something to do with Tyrod, though. It's not all just Baker.
All right, we'll get into that next. Plus, Vic Carucci joins us at 9:06. It's Ken Carmen and Anthony Lama. Your chance to win $1,000, your final day in the Pigskin Payout, coming up at 9:05 on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.